We like to say that we organize people's socks and underwear for hundreds of dollars.
That's
right. So is that memorable? Is that catchy? So that's what you want your 30-second commercial to be, catchy and memorable.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Welcome to another show of The Art of Construction. Devin and Kevin here. We're going to go in and talk with Polly, the owner of Closet Factory here in Denver, Colorado.
I'm really excited to hear about her price qualifying talk. She has given that several times at industry events. People always seem to be very interested. It seems to be very helpful and useful. And I think our contractors, architects, and designers listening today will get a lot out of it.
So her company, Closet Factory, is a franchise model that their facility is just phenomenal. And her husband, Mark, are just super respected. And we're really honored to have them come in and talk about really key points of the business to help contractors and architects grow their business. So what do you say, Kevin? Should we dive in and talk with Polly and have another great conversation on The Art of Construction?
Let's jump right in.
Polly, what is your construction type focus? What's your main focus with your company, Closet Factory?
Our main focus is on residential. We do some commercial work, but most of it is residential. And as our name says, Closet Factory, probably 75% of our work is closets. The other 25% is a smattering of home offices, reception areas for businesses, pantries, mudrooms, garages, really any kind of storage in a residential setting.
Awesome. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage?
Yeah.
What do you think, Devin?
I don't know. Wine?
Chardonnay.
All right. We've been at a few networking events together, right? We enjoy a glass of wine together.
Yes.
What's your favorite place you've traveled?
Gosh, that's tough. I just came back from San Francisco. So as of last week, San Francisco.
Were you there this week during the wine harvest? Or?
No, we were just there really on business and stayed a couple days at the wharf. And it was really fun.
It's great weather this time of year.
It was great. It was actually a little too hot.
Really?
Yeah.
So, Kevin's a San Francisco fan.
Oh, yeah, good. People don't realize that the weather in October, late September, is phenomenal.
Yes, I didn't realize that. Yeah. We just happened to go there because we had a business trip. So it was great.
Good deal.
What's your favorite hobby?
I would say I have two favorite hobbies. One is swimming. I'm a competitive swimmer. And the other is cycling. I like doing that mostly because I can ride with my husband and with my children. So it's really a family activity.
Awesome.
Swimming I do pretty much on my own.
Yeah, cool. So I've been at networking events where you've spoke. One thing you talk about is your 30-second commercial on your speak when you do the networking presentation. So I thought no better way to introduce Polly Lestico by giving us your 30-second commercial on the Closet Factory.
Okay. So when I'm at a networking event, I try to engage people, and I try to be memorable. So part of my approach is not just what I say, but what I wear. I like bright colors, and I notice that most networking activities, people have gray and black and white on, which isn't very memorable. So I typically wear purple or red or pink. So that is part of my commercial. Then I might say something like, when people say, "What do you do at Closet Factory?" My 30-second commercial is, we like to say that we organize people's socks and underwear for hundreds of dollars.
That's right.
So is that memorable? Is that catchy? So that's what you want your 30-second commercial to be, catchy and memorable. And you want your appearance to be memorable.
And to the point of what you do. So
exactly.
That describes it.
Yeah. That's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, and you really have fun at that whole part. I see a lot of people that are so just don't want to be there. They're there because they have to be, and that's been the Closet Factory. Anybody in your team, if they're part of your team, they want to be there, and you guys definitely stand out, and that's really important.
Yeah, we really work on those commercials and work on skills of how to engage people and how to disengage people as well, because you don't want to get stuck in a conversation. You need to have some good escape strategies as well.
Well, what's one of those?
One of those is saying, "Oh gosh, I've been looking for that person. Excuse me. I want to go say hello to him." That's pretty easy, right?
That's good.
So you guys at Closet Factory do like full-on trainings on this kind of stuff, and it's a big part of your business. So And I've learned a lot about, you know, our 30-second commercial. Like, before I met you guys and was just figuring out how to do this, and that's what's so cool about the podcast is to go out and meet people, bring it up here, and then continue that conversation from a networking event or a training or different social paths that we go through, and then bring it to the podcast. Because I think contractors and architects are going to listen to what you're saying about that, and I think they're all thinking about their 30-second commercial. And the more you focus, the better off they are. So,
right.
You know, general contractors, a lot of them just say, I'm general at everything. And the ones that I've found that are super successful are the ones that have a 30-second commercial exactly who they are.
Yes. Well, and I think that 30-second commercial really needs to be engaging and a conversation starter. If I said I just do custom closets, the conversation just ends.
Yeah.
So you don't want to tend.
And like you described, it's not as memorable as socks and underwear for hundreds of dollars.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And that homeowners, they're never going to just get one bid from one contractor. So I think this is a crucial part. You only get one chance to make a first impression. And this commercial, I think, are really profound words is you want to be the one when you walk in the door and you have a what you just said, catchy. They remember Closet Factory versus... There's several closet companies out there, right?
That's right.
And Closet Factory is a franchise model, right?
It is.
So you've taken something that I see, all these closet companies, and I couldn't even tell you another name of a closet company because I'm in the industry because you guys have done such
ears,
a good job. But that's a testament of, you know, a franchise model that there's a lot of them out there.
That's right.
The garages in a day and the this and that and this. And, you know, when you lead into the show, it's like you guys do all that. And don't you guys have a custom shop and stuff
place? Yes, we do. We have a manufacturing facility, about 22,000 square feet of manufacturing.
Wow.
And we occupy 34,000 square feet with our showroom and our offices. So our showroom is really top-notch, gives people lots of ideas of what they can include in their homes or in their offices. Rather than just looking at pictures or looking online, it's really helpful for homeowners and contractors to touch and feel and actually be in the spaces that we're going to be building.
Awesome. And both the manufacturing and the showroom are in the same location,
yes,
correct?
They are.
So they're connected. That's great.
Right. Yeah, we're off of E-470-925.
Cool.
In Centennial, so easy to get to. Just a great experience.
We'll make sure we put some pictures in the show notes of the place. And I love getting the tour there and seeing the manufacturing and... There's so many displays that you leave out of there really wanting a new closet.
Yes, that's right. Well, we're in the process of purchasing a new piece of machinery. It's called a CNC machine.
Cool. Sure.
Or a routing machine. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons we went to San Francisco is to see it in operation. That is just an amazing piece of equipment. Now, I'm not involved with production. I'm the front of the house. My husband takes care of the back of the house. But I was fascinated with how efficient it is in use of material and efficient in use of labor and time. I mean, this machine will just zip through jobs in no time.
Well, what we need to do is set you up with a tour with True Style. Have you ever heard of True Style doors?
Yes.
So
right.
That's our main door suppliers, and they're made here in Denver. And they do tours there that are so awesome. And their CNC machine...
It just knocks your socks off.
Everyone's got to see it. It's just so cool. If you're into this kind of stuff, you got to go to True Style and do the tour.
Well, that
and when
might
you're
be
saying a, the CNC, that's how they do all their stuff.
Yeah. Well, it might be a good resource for us when we don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're dealing with it every day.
Yes,
so.
That's right.
You know, you talk about the 30-second commercial as being a way to kind of get the ball rolling, not only in terms of a networking event, but in many cases, the first start of a conversation with a customer. And then one of the things that you always talk about that we find, Devin and I have talked about this before, that we find really important and interesting is your price qualifying topic. And
I know you
can't cover the whole thing in this conversation, but if you could kind of narrow it down into kind of the cliff notes of that,
give us a
little bit of background on how you guys approach that.
Okay. Well, just to give you a little background on why I put together a talk on price qualifying is what I observed in my own situation when I was doing work for my house. Every person I dealt with never talked about price. And so the result was I was often disappointed because I had unrealistic expectations. When I want to do blinds, I have no idea what blinds cost. And if I don't have that conversation right up front, I'm probably going to think in my mind that it's a whole lot less money. So I thought if I was having that experience, the designers who work for me and designers who I work with, interior designers, are probably struggling with that also. Did a lot of research and came up with things that I thought were great ideas, and actually it's made me a better price qualifier. You know, that's what they if you can teach something, then you learn better. So one of the reasons that talking about price early, it's really important to set yourself up as a trusted advisor. And in my own experience, every person that I talked with wasn't advising me about price. So therefore, I didn't trust them as well. So if we talk about price early, we're really showing respect for our clients' needs and desires. Now, that doesn't mean you walk in the door and say, what's your budget? You definitely have to build some rapport and get some idea of what...
Do the commercial
and get an idea of what their needs are. But you don't want to have that tension hanging in the air. You know, every time we purchase something, there is some tension. A real good example of that is when I go shopping for a pair of shoes. I look at the shoes. I think they're cute. What's the next thing I do? I look at the price tag because I want to get that tension over with. Now, in the construction business, what we're providing for our clients don't have price tags. So we have to talk about it and give them probably ballpark figures. It really is just showing respect and understanding what people are looking for. So you have to, what I found is if I don't practice this with every client, the third client that I forget to practice it with, I'm probably going to sticker shock them. So it's a good practice to put it in your repertoire when you're dealing with a client fairly early in the process. Get the tension out of the way. I've actually seen people sigh and, you know, their shoulders look relaxed. Once you get that whole price thing out of the way, then you can go on and relieve the client of the tension so they can really think through what they're looking for.
And spend a lot of extra time. You know, we call it the needs analysis of Mountain View. And since I've been through your talk, I'm constantly bringing that into when I talk with the Mountain View family. It's all about price early and often and get them down the right path. Because just like you with closets and us with windows, doors, and hardware, there's always good, better, best.
That's right.
And you want to get into those categories as fast as you can to time is money. And it's every... There's never a podcast we talk about where it's not of don't have enough time in the day. So if we can take bites out of this along the way, I think that's really powerful.
Right.
Make sure you talk about a contractor story I've heard about along the way.
Yes. Well, this is a funny story. I wanted to get something nice for my husband for Christmas, and I am not a shopper. So he had been talking about a steam shower, and I thought, you know, that would be a really nice surprise. So I... contacted our contractor who had built our house, and I said, I'd really like to do a steam shower for my husband. Can you put a bid together? And I purposely didn't bring up price. I was really, that wasn't very friendly of me, but I wanted to see if he was going to bring up price. Never said a word. And I made myself think, what's in my budget for this gift? So I had no idea, which is what all of our clients say, right? I have no idea what closets cost. And truly, they don't have an idea of what closets cost. I had no idea what a steam shower cost, but I made myself think, how much do I want to spend on this project? And out of the sky, I chose $3,000. So my contractor...
So that was your internal budget.
Yes.
Everyone has... Nobody knows, but they all have a number that they're just thinking. It could be totally out of whack, right?
That's right. Okay. And a lot of times it is totally out of whack.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is just whatever we think it's going to be, unrealistic or not. He never asked me what my budget was. He never gave me ballpark figures. He brought in a plumber, an electrician, a tile fellow.
He had all these subs come in to put the total together without talking to you about it.
Exactly. So... And it took him 6 weeks to get it together. So I was really proud of myself. I thought of this gift before Thanksgiving. Usually the December 23rd, oh my God, I got to get a gift. So I gave him, you know, I gave him a fair amount of time. By Christmas, I didn't have a bid. After first of the year, I got a bid. And guess how much it was?
Probably a little more than $3,000.
It was almost exactly twice the amount. It was $6,200. And... And then he never called me back.
And what I want to jump in there, because I've heard you say this a couple of times at networking events, and everyone in the audience is like, wow, that's a good price. I always hear that. So I just think that's such a good – when you say that story, and then I always hear 10 people around me, including the first time I heard you say that, I was like – $6,200, that's a pretty good price for a whole steam shower setup.
See, and I had no idea. But if we'd had that conversation, I would have either said to my contractor, oh, that's way too much money. I love my husband, but not that much. or I would have said, well, where's all that money come from, John? You know, instead of waiting 6 weeks and being sticker shocked and just going, well, I'm so sorry you wasted all those people's time, but... you know, I'll buy him a tie or something. So it's, you know, if we'd have the conversation and he could have talked me through where the cost is, I might have spent $6,200.
Well, and I think what Devin had talked about earlier in terms of good, better, and best, I know from personal experience with steam showers, there are multiple ways to do it. So good, better, and best is kind of a reasonable way to approach it. And I'm kind of surprised in the initial conversation with your contractor that wasn't discussed, and that would have helped you and helped him guide all the other people coming in. What is the overall mission here? Are we good, better, or best?
Right. And we didn't have that conversation at all. So it was a very disappointing experience for me, and it was rather disrespectful of the contractor to not bring that up. Now, I was in the middle of writing this talk when that happened. So I was using that as just experimenting.
Sure.
Because I probably would have brought up price.
Your personality, you would bring up price. There's a lot of people that wouldn't and waste a lot of time.
That's right. And there's some finesse to it. I think people don't want to give prices to a vendor like we are because they're afraid we're going to spend all their money. Uh-huh. But in reality is... You just want to get to the same page before you give a product or offer a product and a price. If you're totally on the wrong page, we shouldn't waste any of our time. Maybe we just shouldn't work together.
Yeah.
Or come to a compromise, good, better, or best. Because generally, there's something we can offer our clients at whatever budget. And the most important thing to remember is everybody has a budget, no matter what kinds of homes we're going into or what kinds of cars people drive. It doesn't mean that they want to give a whole bag load of money to us. They might just want to give a little bit of that money to us. So we want to make sure we don't go in with prejudging the situation. Everybody has a budget.
And there are a lot of people involved. In this case, he had to bring in several trades, which is an inconvenience to a degree for you, him, all the subs, and so forth. If you're off track... sort of at the end of the day, if it's really off the train tracks, everybody loses.
That's right. And I felt badly for all of those guys who came over. You know, I didn't have to be there. John let them in. But, you know, they had to come off of other jobs, spend 30 minutes driving, and we could have avoided that. Or I could have been on board.
Right.
So our last session was with Ben Wood, owner of Architect Outdoor Living, and he talked about how his key to his success is all about taking care of his subcontractors and making sure it's successful for them. So a contractor that's not doing his job up front to where the subcontractors are coming in there knowing, because the general contractor brought in a plumber that could have plumbed it for 5 shower heads and 5 body sprays and or one, and the price is going to be very different on all those things. So it's our job as the leaders, either the general contractor to set all that stuff up right, or we see a lot of general contractors that are that do a really good job by bringing us industry partners in, so they'll have a walkthrough, so to speak, with the window clause, and he'll set up, respect everybody's time, but be organized. And we would much rather, as a supplier, come in, meet with the contractor and the homeowner, and help what we call the needs analysis go down that road, so we're going down the right channel from the front end.
Right. Certainly as subcontractors, we've been to many appointments where we've waited for 30 minutes for our time slot. And it's just because it hasn't been organized so mm-hmm. that everyone has 10 minutes at a certain time.
But wouldn't you say some of the most successful contractors and architects you work with, they really manage that meeting in that structure. They really have a structure and a job book and all those things from the front end.
That's really one of the main reasons you have a general contractor. It's usually homeowners that are trying to do the general contracting who aren't that organized or respectful.
Yeah.
I would say general contractors are very respectful of their vendors and make sure that the timing is done correctly.
So Paul, our favorite ones, the ones we're all talking about wanting to do.
That's right.
So, Paulie, with that as kind of a backdrop, kind of a foundation for this, what have you learned or what have you kind of put together as a recommended way to deal with the price qualifying conversation?
Well, I think, again, you have to build some rapport. And with a client, in our case, we're trying to really meet three buckets. One is organizational needs. One is aesthetic needs, and the other is budgetary needs. And all three really are important. Generally, we start with organization because that's kind of the point of pain. People call us in because they can't get organized. So we want to deal with the pain issue first. And then secondly, along with the pain issue is, what do you want this to look like? And many people say, oh, it just needs to be organized. Aesthetics isn't really important. I just want to get the most organization for the best price. Well, that's a great introduction. Well, okay, let's talk about price.
Yeah.
And literally, I hear it almost every day. Our designers hear it every day. I have no idea what closets cost. So instead of letting them do that, my line is, I'm sure you have no idea what a closet costs. And they laugh. And, you know, it's just a point of commonality. And then I'll say, but I bet you have an idea, or maybe you and your husband have talked about what you'd like to spend on this project. Typically, a client will deny that. No, we really haven't talked about it. No, I really haven't thought about it. So then you give them a ballpark figure, and then you narrow it down. Let's say we're looking at a walk-in closet for in the master. So I'll say, this closet could be between, oh, I'd say $2,000 and $7,000. And they'll go, well, I sure don't want to spend $7,000. Well, I already know it's not ever going to be $7,000 because she already told me she didn't want it to be gorgeous. You give them a wide range so that you have a lot of leeway. So I say, oh, $7,000, that's a little too much. How do you feel about $5,000? No, that's a little too high. Well, would you buy a closet for $4,000? You know, that's exactly what my husband and I talked about.
Even though previously they hadn't really thought about it.
Yes, exactly. They hadn't thought about it. They hadn't talked to their spouse.
But at that point, you got the rapport.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't go back at them and say, liar, liar. But I want to.
Yeah. Well, and I think also at that point, they know you're not trying to push the $7,500 or $7,000, you know, beautiful situation that you were describing.
Right. Well, and you have to give them a realistic budget, too. Because if I said to them, this closet could be between $2,000 and $20,000, they'd probably kick me out of the house.
Right.
Because that doesn't show any credibility or respect for them. So it has to be in a good, you know, realistic amount. And you don't have to pinpoint it exactly. Because remember, when you're price qualifying, you're not trying to educate your client on price. You're trying to get them to tell you what they want to spend. Really has to be a give and take. Always you need to be respectful of what they want to spend and make sure you have a product that is in that ballpark, if not lower. Oftentimes we will give kind of a basic closet within their budget and then offer upgrades. And sometimes people will spend 10% more because they like the upgrade so much or the accessory so much. But always we price qualify. We need to be respectful of that price and their budget, or we shouldn't price qualify at all.
Yeah.
If you don't come back with a price in their budget, you probably are going to get kicked out. Or it means that you didn't listen, and that's even worse.
That's great. That's great.
Paulie, what would you say is your most interesting project this year?
I'm glad you asked that. I just finished a project, just had it photographed, because I'm going to enter it in a contest next year.
Oh, cool.
I got a call. Oh, gosh, this project has taken about 9 months because we've added on to it. I got a call from a personal assistant of a very powerful executive in Boulder. He was just moving out of a big home into a loft in Boulder. The first time I walked in, the first thing I saw was the bed. Now, I don't know about you, but that isn't the lack of privacy in a loft like that is not my cup of tea, and certainly was not his cup of tea. So he had the idea to build a room divider that would be both a closet for him as well as a hall closet and trophy area that faced out to the main entry.
Okay.
And so he had this vision. Of course, I never got to meet him. But I came up with a design that had all of that, a trophy area, a place for guests for their coats, and then on the backside, a dresser and room for all of his clothes. And then he had the idea that he wanted all of this enclosed with sliding glass doors. And, of course, I know the sliding glass door company, so I got them involved, and they put sliding glass doors around this room divider. So it was a big project because this thing is massive. And, you know, the loft has 12-foot ceilings, so it's certain, I was really afraid it would be way too big. But now you walk in and you see this beautiful trophy with a sliding ladder across it, great lighting, and sliding glass doors.
And it all works.
So it was really fun. And then he asked us to come back and add some bookshelves and wine rack and a pantry. And this is a Closet Factory loft now.
Awesome.
Glad to say.
So you said design. Do you actually do the A to Z when someone takes on a project at Closet Factory? They learn the whole system from designing everything, or does it get passed off to other people within the company?
Yes. I have 18 designers who work for me, and I tend to work with clients that I've had in the past. I don't take any other clients on, but people I've worked with, and I work with a number of contractors and interior designers.
Yeah.
But my job really is to hire, train, and manage designers. So they go through a whole series of learning how to design with our CAD program, as well as learning how to sell with our sales call process.
Awesome.
So it's a combination of the two.
Cool.
Very cool. One of the things that we always ask, and we always get an interesting reaction, is on the flip side of that, what was your most challenging project that you faced this year?
I would say probably my most challenging project was not a project, but a personality.
Mm.
Dealing with a very difficult customer and coming out with her satisfied and us satisfied. Sometimes, you know, you just want to walk away from people who are difficult, and I decided not to walk away from this opportunity. Made the customer happy, and we got paid, and it was all good.
Nice result.
Yes, nice result.
Great.
So what do you listen to while you're driving around in your car?
Well, if I've been out of town, when I'm heading to the swimming pool in the morning at 5 o'clock, I listen to KOA because I want to get back in touch with Denver. And I love those guys in the morning.
Awesome.
So, and usually I do listen to them when I'm heading to the pool in the morning because it's a good way to wake up.
Sure.
The other thing I listen to in my car is a Bible lesson, a Christian Science Bible lesson,
cool.
which takes about 30 minutes. And I often listen to it more than once because I think I get distracted and I don't get the full gist of it. And then the other thing I listen to, now I'm going to be listening to podcasts because you've been educating me about them.
All right.
But
that's
what
kind of a loaded
have
question.
Prompted.
Yeah. Yes, I'm excited about it because I think I waste a lot of driving time listening to novels. You know, I just finished Grisham. What's his first name? John Grisham.
John Grisham, yes.
Novel this morning. And, you know, those are fun.
Yeah.
You learn a little bit, but I'd much rather spend my time learning more.
Yeah, so it's a mixture. So we ask that question as we're educating everyone about podcasts, that awesome stuff that, and we took the bits and pieces that all made sense to us, and now we target to them and listen to that, driving around from A to Z, and you can start it and stop whenever makes sense.
Now, that's pretty interesting, but one of the things I wanted to hear more about is the CNC machine that you were talking about earlier. What are the new capabilities that you're going to be able to do with that machine that you aren't currently doing?
I think two big parts of it are time and labor.
Gotcha.
It takes just one person to operate this machine. The machine will bore holes for hinges.
Right.
It'll bore holes for our ray fixes, holes, mm-hmm. our 32-millimeter
right.
Boring system. Now we have four different stations that do those, and this machine will do all of it, which is amazing. And then secondly, it really utilizes the material to the utmost. So you'll see a sheet go through the machine, and there's two kick plates, panel, shelves, all out of one piece, and the amount of waste is minimal. It creates a little more dust, but so we have a great dust collection system in our office, in our factory, and this machine comes with a pretty good dust collection system also.
Cool.
Yeah.
So does it also speed up lead times a bit?
Well, that's what our hope is, because we definitely are rocking and rolling. You know, our lead times are a little longer than we'd like them to be right now, and certainly our clients would like them to be shorter. Although I would say clients are getting used to the construction business being busy, and they are expecting longer lead times, thank goodness.
Yeah.
The other thing that it'll help is just labor.
Yep.
You know, one person runs this machine, and it'll probably replace three or four people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much and coming in and talking with us, Polly. I got a lot of great information out of this and hope all our customers did. If you're in the Denver area and need closets, Closet Factory is the place to go. And if you're out networking, you'll see Polly and Mark and the team all over the place. So
in our bright clothes.
In the bright clothes, all right, yeah. And then now they'll be promoting the podcast show and join the podcast culture.
Yes, awesome. That sounds great.
Thanks, Polly.
Thank you.
Awesome, huh?
That was really, really interesting, isn't it?
Polly, it's just great talking with.
No, it's amazing all the process they go through, both the price qualifying. It sounds like a real simple thing, and I guess at the end of the day it is, but what a time saver and what a productive way to do business for all of us, really, when you think about it.
And the whole, from the front end, it's you only get one chance to make a first impression, and they've taken just what everyone else just says that. They put a whole method into that with the 30-second commercial to price qualifying, talk price early and often. And I think those are probably two of the key moments. When you look at every successful sale you got, it's like you did it right at the beginning, you did the needs analysis right, got the rapport with the customer, and then you did what they want.
Well, I think that's the key is, you know, being memorable like she talked about, making the customer feel comfortable, but yet at the same time, you're not afraid to get right in there and get a feel for, you know, what the price expectation is up front so you can deal with it. And clearly what she talked about is setting a range, a ballpark range, and getting feedback from them so you can work within that.
Closet Factory is the place to go for closets, if you ask me.
Well, and the other key thing is they're investing in the business with a new CNC machine. They're one of the, in fact, I think she said that they're the only closet company with their own stain booth on site. And so they've got both the showroom and the factory right there at their location in Centennial. So pretty efficient for people to do business with.
Dynamite, yeah. Mountain View's lucky to have an industry partner like the Closet Factory. So if you want to get in touch with them, head into the show notes. Get Polly and Mark and the rest of the team at Closet Factory a call if you want to go to the place for closets in Denver, Colorado.
Good deal.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.